Good day. It is, what is this? This is episode 598 of the Context Machine. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. Please, please make sure you check us out at our new home, which is contextmachine.io.
Is it new?
We had the walls painted.
Is it new?
Yeah, well, it feels new because we you know, there's carpeting, there's paint on the wall. I hung some pictures.
Recently? Have you actually updated something?
Absolutely not.
Okay, excellent. Okay, perfect. Perfect.
No, I'm just trying to make it sound better than it is. But
it functions? You know,
having adjoining rooms, that is nice.
Yes, and it functions. And it functions. You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us or on Twitter.
Assuming it's still there by the time you hear the show.
At contextmachine.
Hey, Brian, today's show is sponsored by LinkedIn Jobs.
Oh, sweet. I will tell you all about them later in the show.
I can't wait.
All right, before we dive into I didn't share with you my note here on the extended script that I don't even bother sharing is post.news or post.not.
Post.news or post.not?
Yes. I figured that'd be the title for the show. Is it the title for the show?
It is now.
Okay, great. Post.news or post.not. But before we talk about that, you were starting to talk about some kind of like fantasy series that you liked or something. I don't know. Something.
Okay. So for those of you that don't pay attention to what we talk about, much like us.
Yeah, I was about to say that. that includes me.
We've had discussions before where we came to the realization that I'm just not a fan of fantasy series.
Mm, right.
There was Lord of the Rings, and after that, I was like, meh, I'm not enjoying any of these. I did enjoy the Chronicles of Thomas Covenant, know if I went back and read them now, if I could still enjoy them.
I've read them many times. Many times I've read those books. They were kind of like, I don't know, more or less important to me when I was a wee lad.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I could handle it as an adult, 40 years later.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yep. Same reason that while I love Dragon Riders of Pern, I'm probably not going to go back and
I bet those hold up a little bit better. Although, I mean, they would probably count as young adult today.
Yeah.
Well, the publisher probably would have wanted them to be angled at young adult today.
Okay, I can see that.
Right, because there was no young adult. When Anne McCaffrey wrote those books, that category did not exist.
Right, yeah.
And it is kind of a young adult theme, but you know, she was anyway, go ahead please. I'm
anyway going off, so that's what we do, Brian.
Oh right, the tangent machine.
Oh, now we have a name for the show. Brian, you should check real quick and see if the tangent machine .com is available.
Okay, I'll do that. Go ahead.
So I realize there actually is another fantasy property that I really genuinely enjoy.
Okay, can't wait.
And Willow.
Oh, okay. Did you read the books or are you talking about the movie?
I'm talking about the movie.
Are you also talking about the new series?
And now I'm watching the TV series. And I'm thoroughly enjoying the TV series, even though it's the formula that pisses me off and just sends me away. Because, you know, it's the quest. Just the plain old quest. But I'm really enjoying Willow.
Good. Good. Glad to hear it. I never watched the Willow movie.
Really?
Yeah, and all this time. I mean, and I haven't seen Titanic either, or E.T.
I don't even know who you are.
Or Neverending Story. I never watched that either.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. But I hear it's never ending. We can just jump in at any time and we'll be caught up.
I see. All right. Well, that kind of makes sense. But my point is that, yeah, I hadn't watched it. I've seen the trailers for the show a couple times. They haven't really appealed to me.
Well, you know, if you haven't seen the movie, then it may... Yeah, I can see where the trailers come across just like any other, you know, fantasy series. So now I'm wondering, is the series playing off of the nostalgia that I have for the movie?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, they would be foolish not to.
Right.
So yeah, I'm sure to some extent that's the case. By the way, I tagged you. I you're such a good sport. You were such a good sport. And I did so. I tagged you on a post on Instagram for a contest.
Yes.
And I was a jerk about it while I was doing it, because what I said was, "Hey, at Jay Gamet," which is where you can find you. Mm-hmm. On the Instagrams and most of the other things, all the other things. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm GeekTales at most of the things. But I said, "Hey, I found a new book you could start."
Yeah, that was not lost on me. Well, most people would interpret that as, "Oh, here's a book that Jeff can start reading." No, what Brian means is, here's a book that Jeff can start
and not finish.
And that's where it ends.
And so, like, I'm so rudely taggy. And it was a contest. Like, you know, like the tweet or like the post on Instagram and tag someone else and, you know, and be entered to win this book. And it's by Jay Kristoff, and his fan base are rabid and legion. So, you know, chances of me winning it are slim and none, but I was rude enough to actually tag Jeff in that. And then, like I said, was insulting while I did it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the karma is you're not going to win the contest.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. And it's for like a full color version, like a very, very special version of his Empire of the Vampire book, which was a very good book. Anyway, whatever.
Okay. You know, as long as we're talking about cool books.
Yeah.
We've decided we're the Tangent Machine.
Yeah.
There's a, it's either 4 or 5 issue story, comic book story that just wrapped up early December, and it's called The Variants.
Okay.
And it's a Marvel Comics, like 4 or 5 issue run.
Okay.
And it's written by Gail Simone.
Okay.
And for those people that know, they're like, "Oh, okay, done. I'm getting it." She is an incredible writer, and everything she touches in the comic book world just turns to gold because she's so good at what she does. Example for you. You've seen the Deadpool movies, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I think it's in the second Deadpool movie, Deadpool, gets a scooter and he's riding a scooter around places.
Okay.
That's a Gail Simone thing. She wrote some Deadpool and was like, he needs to have a scooter. And so they ultimately ended up incorporating that into the storyline. Anyhow, so Variants, it's Jessica Jones, and for people that are like, "Wait, I recognize that name." Yeah, Marvel TV series.
Yeah.
That was on Netflix.
Yep.
And good show. So she's super-powered detective that has a lot of issues.
A lot of issues.
a lot of issues.
Some might call her troubled.
Some might. Actually, I think some do. Anyhow, so the premise is that that alternate versions of Jessica Jones, you know, like multiverse versions, start showing up in her life. And now she has to deal with whatever's going on with all of these variants of herself showing up.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It was really well done.
I just started a book called, I finished the Dresden Files, or at least caught up to the most recent novel in the Dresden Files. And that had me going for quite a while, but I just started a book called John Dies at the End. Can't wait to find out what happens.
Yeah, let me know.
Yeah. It is a funny book so far. I'm enjoying it. All right, shall we, you know, like actually talk about some things?
We should, because holy crap, this new, the tangent show, the notes that I've already taken for stuff that we need to include links for in our show notes. This is getting to be too much work.
Okay. Well, we'll get on to it then. All right. So here's the, actually let's talk about LinkedIn jobs first. I know how we get. Here's the thing. LinkedIn jobs can help you find the right people for your team, you know, especially if you're wanting to finish up the year on a nice, strong footing, and they make it super easy to create a job post. LinkedIn has this huge, massive network of hundreds of millions of people around the world, and they use all of that information and data to be able to help you find the right people for the job opening that you have. They give you a dashboard that lets you manage all your job posting. It lets you manage your potential candidates, helps you prioritize who you might want to interview. They give you the this purple frame for your profile that lets people know that you're hiring. They have a lot of tools that make it easier for you to find the right people for your job. And as we know, it continues to be a very hard market when it comes to filling job openings. They give you simple tools. They have like these screening questions that makes it easy to focus on, you know, the right candidates, so you're not wasting your time on the wrong candidates, and helps you prioritize who you're going to interview, like I said, and you can manage all this from your dashboard. The dashboard is really simple to use. It's got good information. It lays everything out clearly. It is a good tool for filling your job positions. And then they make it easy to do that first job post. It's super easy. And better yet, because you're listening to the Context Machine, you can even post that first job for free at linkedin.com/ACM. That's linkedin.com/ACM to post your job for free on LinkedIn Jobs. Use all those great tools that they've got to help you with your hiring process. And we appreciate them sponsoring the show. Here's the thing. We've talked a lot about Twitter and Twitter alternatives, potential would-be alternatives, and social media, all because Elon Musk is, you know, like going down a right-wing, alt-right, QAnon-inspired rabbit hole over on Twitter. That's most of why we've been talking about it. And the thing is that it continues.
Yes, he keeps finding more Q fuel to pour down that hole and light on fire.
Yeah. And that's the difference. This is the thing that I mentioned to you earlier that I would say for the show. There have been plenty of other times when there has been like a sudden interest in social media platform alternatives. For us, a lot of time it's actually been Facebook related.
Right.
Because of nonsense that Facebook was engaged in, or problems with the platform, or just, you know, just because it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
This time around, it is Twitter. But the thing is that for me, at least, the interest in finding something else to be interested in has continued pretty steadily.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't. I mean, like most of the other times, it'll be like, you know, some new platform launches. And so, oh, hey, we should go check it out because, you know, we're always talking about like dumping Facebook or something. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, maybe we do. And then we forget about it because it doesn't work.
Right.
Or, you know, it's just like doesn't catch on, or, you know, if it does work, it doesn't catch on, or, you know, just doesn't, they don't tend to be viable.
Mm-hmm.
This time around, for me, finding something else that actually works has remained front of mind.
Mm-hmm.
For you?
I do have one of the social platforms that is kind of sticking in the forefront for me, but I'm not like fully committed yet.
No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is the interest in finding something.
Oh, the interest in finding something.
Not the success, you know, Brian, of finding
if I actually
something.
Listened to what you were saying.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
Yeah. Yes. It's a quest. I'm on a quest.
And anyway, that's why we keep talking about it is, and because, you know, the news continues
unabated.
So, you know, and, after our last show, which was a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
I think we mentioned Post, and I mentioned being on there, but you hadn't actually gotten on there yet. Is that right?
I hadn't. I was on the waiting list.
You were on the waiting list.
And then I got on, and I was all excited because I was on.
Right. Okay. So we're going to talk about our different experiences there on that one today. That's what we're going to talk about, because Jeff and I have both used it. And both experimented, and not a very elegant way to say all that, but anyway, that's why we're talking about this, and it's why we think it remains relevant. And but this is today's show is driven by the ability to actually really kick the tires on Post.News.
Yeah, and okay, so it's been a great show. Thanks for joining us, everyone. We're not done.
Yeah, we haven't done it. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I wasn't listening again.
Oh, right. Okay. Again, fair. So I remain. Here's the thing about Post for me, man.
Mm-hmm.
Post feels real. But by the way, Post is still in, like, you know, the early, like they. This week they launched the ability to mute someone, and mm-hmm. next up is the ability to block someone. This is early beta stuff. They have, well, I think the announcement said that there were 410,000 people total that had signed up for the waiting list, and 154,000 of those people have activated their accounts, which is not bad, but, you know, is certainly not like a viable social media platform yet.
Yes.
And certainly a lot of the content is coming for it's either being automatically posted from Twitter, or people, like, you know, posting Twitter links and then discussing it on Post. There is original content. And I want to talk about, so not only this look and feel, but also they're like their business model and how they're theoretically planning to do stuff. And and again, the fact that I feel like it may actually be viable.
Yeah. You know, it may be viable.
Cause Mastodon to me is not.
You see, to me, Mastodon has viability in a different way than Post does. And Mastodon, it's been around for a few years now, a couple years at least. Whereas Post is brand new. So, you know, there's a whole thing with like really finding their footing for both of these and finding who their audience is. So I think for the right audience, Mastodon has viability, and the same thing for Post.
Okay. What, so how do you mean that for Post?
Well, for Post, I'm not sure yet. What I mean is I don't know yet who I see as the real target base that's going to make Post grow.
Right. And that's going to
Mastodon. What I see is a user base where people are more comfortable with technology they're more comfortable with technology that might be a little opaque. Like the signup process. Holy crap. I would never expect my dad to join Mastodon and interact with people there.
It's like the IRC of social media.
Yes. And that's a great way to put it.
That's why I don't feel like it's viable. It's not that it's not viable from the standpoint of like the technology actually working. It's not viable from the standpoint of a critical mass being able to use the technology.
Well, IRC is still around.
But it's not a social media alternative.
And not anymore. But I get what you're saying. I think that Mastodon will have a better run as let's call it the new IRC. But it definitely has a self-limiting user base.
Okay. Then there's more to it than that for me for Mastodon. It's not even just the sign up process. It's the segregation of servers is weird and super confusing and just makes it not useful to me. Like I don't even want to go back and try.
I can absolutely appreciate that. The multiple server thing definitely adds a level of confusion and complication. And
I get for them, it's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah. For them, it's a feature,
but yeah, I don't know. Let me know how that works out. Post, on the other hand, Post presents its content in a way that is that I like consuming. I enjoy it. I enjoy the layout. I enjoy the controls. I enjoy the way everything is presented. Right? It is for that reason that I feel like Post is potentially viable as a major social media platform.
Okay, here's the problem I'm having with Post, and I do appreciate what you're saying, but here's the problem I'm having. You get in, you sign in, you've created your account, and then you're presented with a very modern and clean looking interface, and that's it. You're just sitting there looking at it. It's like, and now what? And my experience
it starts off with a generic feed from all these people you don't know.
Yeah. And you still can't find people you know.
Yeah, you can.
How?
Well, there's a,
now,
there's
I probably gave up before they added that in.
Yeah, that was one of the features that was not available at first. But now you can do a search for folks. And yeah, I think you can do a search for content too. Yeah, topics and accounts both.
I just opened up my account and yeah, I can see from search and I can search for accounts and topics. Okay, so that's good.
Yeah, and their whole thing is that they want to, well, let me rephrase this. What they have said is that they know all of these things that they need, but they're not, for instance, Neil, the noted architect Pan, mentioned to me that, you know, that they've got to have an app. And what mm-hmm. they have said is, well, they didn't put it this way, but the message was, there's no point in having an app until things work. We don't need to onboard a bunch of people if those people are going to, you know, have an experience that they're not enjoying. So there's all these other features that we have to put in place first before we even think about making an app. That's how early, right, like I said, this is early beta.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear as I have poked around in here, it's early beta. All right. So here's the feeling that I have gotten using Post. You know, when you go to a Mixer event for, you know, a conference or, you know, social group or whatever, and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to show up and I'm going to be able to do all this great networking or intermingling and have these great conversations and meet these great people. And then after like 15 minutes of being there, you realize there's literally no one here that's interested in talking with me. And I'm not finding anyone that has anything compelling to say to me.
Yeah.
Why am I here?
Yeah. That's how you felt about Post content.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I've definitely enjoyed the content a lot more. Another thing about Post that I like is, and I don't know if this is going to actually be viable, but the economic model for this platform is a points-based system. You buy points for dollars, and then you can tip people for content or access premium content that is only available if you're essentially paying for it with points.
Mm-hmm.
And you can withdraw those points. So like if you write something and you get a bunch of tips, I think it's once you reach $50, you can withdraw it as dollars to your bank. So mm-hmm. a point being to incentivize quality content. I don't know if that's going to end up working. It may not. But I believe that at least as of now, that is in lieu of advertising, which is great because it makes us not the product.
I'm all about us not being the product.
Yes. And so like Reuters has content that you can have, that I know of at least, that is premium only content. So you'd end up seeing a preview of the story, and then to read it, you'd have to tip. I haven't done any. Oh, they start you off with, at least at this stage, you get 50 free points, and they want you to spend them.
Okay.
I haven't actually tipped anyone or accessed premium content, so I need to actually still do that. I don't know, man. I feel like this one's got legs.
It may have legs, and I'm totally willing to accept that the way that I'm feeling about Post today can change, because like you have pointed out, this is very early beta. And as it evolves, I may start finding it more appealing. One of the problems that I've had, and I'm completely willing to accept this is a personal issue on me. When I found out that some of the big name news publications that that are on post actually aren't on post, and it was just post setting up the accounts. And so it looked like, say, like the New York Times was on post, but they weren't.
Really?
I was like, seriously, that felt really disingenuous. And I didn't like that at all.
Really? See,
yeah, that bugged me.
New York Times, zero posts, zero following, but a bunch of people following them. Want the Times on post? Help us convince them to join by following here. I agree. That is pretty disingenuous.
Yeah. And, you know, okay. So that was actually the tipping point where it's like, I'm not spending more time messing around here, because I'd been doing the, I'm at the mixer and I'm feeling awkward and all alone. And you know me, I'm the guy that you can throw into any mixer. And,
yeah, you're Mr. Social Butterfly.
Yeah. I'm going to start having interesting conversations and meet people. And yeah,
this other person you're describing is a lot more like me than you, but go ahead.
Yeah. I was channeling my inner Brian on post and I'm like, I'm not feeling it.
Huh? Well, so, I will mention another issue right now. The people who are on post and actively using it are, heavily, at least the ones I'm seeing are heavily dominated by people who are particularly put off by the turn at Twitter.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if that's not your bag, of course, if that's not your bag, you're probably not listening to the show at this point.
Reasonable assumption. Yeah.
But if that's not your bag, it's, you know, not going to be, you're not going to enjoy the content. Oh, and by the way, your first post is supposed to be a post to your pet. It's apparently an unwritten rule.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't either. I didn't do it.
Have I done a post on post yet?
I have you? You tell me.
I don't know. How would I tell? It says one posts.
Did you make a post? Oh, yeah. I think I liked it.
7 people liked it.
Wow. Look at you.
I mean, I can see 7 people liked it. I can't see who the 7 people are.
Let me follow Neil. Here's hoping everyone plays nice on post. We already have plenty of social media dumpster fires. Yeah, people agreed with that. Here, let me tip you a point. Select an amount to tip. 100% of the tip will go to the creator. So how do they make money if you buy points?
Oh, I figured out how to see who liked it. It wasn't clear. So I ended up opening that specific post. And then I had to like click on it again. And now it's just isolated. And at the bottom below the thumbs up with 7 beside it, it says liked by, and it has a couple names, and there's a little chevron. When I click the chevron, then I can see all 7 people who liked it. And one of those is Geek Tales. I like that Geek Tales guy. He's groovy.
He is the bee's knees, isn't he?
He is. He's swell.
So I cannot see who liked your post.
I wonder if that's like a privacy thing.
It's probably a feature thing at this point. Just, you know, haven't done it yet. All right. So, I just liked my own post. That's pretty cool.
Well, was it a good post?
Where'd you find the chevron?
Okay. So, I've got the post, my post open.
Yeah. Same.
And, yeah. Okay. Here's what I did. Let me back up. So, on my feed, I click, I'm looking at my feed, and then up at the top, to the left where it says post, there's your avatar.
Yeah.
I clicked on that, and right below that, it says one post, one following, 10 followers.
Okay.
By the way, you are the one person I'm following, Brian.
Yes, I realize that.
So I clicked on one post, and then I see the one.
Yeah, you see your post, yeah.
So I had to click on the post that I wanted to get more information on, which is, in this case, my only post. Okay, now that shows me the post with the bar at the bottom of the post.
I see that.
It says liked by whoever.
Right.
And then I can click on any of the text in the liked by whatever, not just the chevron. And then it shows me the list of 7 people who liked the post.
Got it. And that is a relatively recent addition. So you can only see that on the actual post itself, not in even your own feed. Like if you go look at your list of posts, you will not see it on any individual post. You have to click through to the post to see that.
Yeah.
Did you see that you got tipped?
No. I'm looking to see if there's an obvious place for me to have noticed that.
I don't know.
Okay, I found it.
Okay.
Okay, so what I ended up doing back where way back, where you click on your little avatar icon next to where it says post, and then you get the sidebar that shows all the stuff.
Yep.
There's a payments section. So it's like home, install the post app. Well, if they... So do they have an app?
No, it's a browser shortcut.
Oh, okay.
So, anyhow. You can stick the icon on your mobile device homepage if that's what you want to do.
Okay. Anyhow, so there's that, topics, profiles, followers, and follows and followers. Okay, and then payments right below that. And when I clicked on payments, I have a thing that says payments dashboard, and it shows that I have a tip.
5 points.
Yeah. So what I need to do. bless their little hearts. Okay. Here's what happened. So I clicked on following.
Yeah.
And I got a 404 error.
Nice.
There it goes. Now it's working. Anyhow, I'm about to tip you. Isn't this like amazing, riveting content?
Well, my thought was that other people would enjoy or find it useful to benefit from our kicking of the tires.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So you have now been tipped.
Oh my goodness. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Look at that right there. 5 points back. That's right, baby. I'm back in the game.
I tried to go back to my account and I got a 404 error. This is beta, people.
I'm not getting those errors. So again, I want to stress that and I may not be right about this by any stretch of the imagination. The reason why I feel like this thing has legs and is viable is because the content, i.e. people's posts, is being presented in a way that is enjoyable to consume and participate in. And that's not a thing that I felt in other alt platforms. Social media alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
So I can
appreciate that.
That's why I feel like it's got legs.
Okay. See, the discussion we're having, it validates to me that there's no one ring of social media platforms.
But there has been. I mean, there's been two or three. Well, okay, fine, four, which is Facebook. Shut up, you. Shut up. You're not the boss of me. There's Facebook, there's Twitter, there's Instagram, and there's TikTok. Not necessarily in that order.
Mm-hmm.
And each of those has heretofore dominated its approach to social media.
Okay. But they all have different approaches.
But they do all have different approaches.
And you find different people on different platforms. Because for some people, Facebook is the most appealing to them. For others, it's TikTok. That's the one ring I'm talking about, meaning the one platform where everyone's like, yeah, this is it.
Okay,
we've all come together and we've realized this is the way we want it to work.
And there were that. It's hard for me to see that ever actually being the case where there is just the one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, by the way, Dan Simmons, who you know is one of my favorite authors.
Mm-hmm.
The book Hyperion is set in several centuries into the future. And it was, I think it was published in 89 or 90. So it was written in, you know, 88 or 89. And mm-hmm. he, like, there's just so many things that he nailed about the future that, things that he nailed about the internet that predated the internet. And of course it was never called the internet, and it's so far in the future, the internet has it, you know, it's not the internet. It's something different. But one of the things he had was called the AllNet. And that was basically the masses. And the masses would interact with each other and essentially like vote on a lot of things. And like, there would be an AllNet consensus on things. And it was just like, it was social media long before social media was, I mean, long before the internet was even a thing. It's certainly the popular internet. And I've always, it's one of the many, many things I love about that man's writing is just how many, just how clear he sees a lot of things. My point is that we're not going to have an all net, which is the one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've had so far is we had the Twitter being the first. We had the Facebook being the first at what it was doing, even though it, you know, flailed about for a little bit. We had Instagram being the first at what it did. We had TikTok being the first at what it did. And now Instagram, of course, has pivoted to be a TikTok rival. Mm-hmm. And all of the other things that have come along have failed to be viable alternatives to those things.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's different about Post2Me is that like Post is probably never going to be a Twitter replacement unless Twitter itself goes out of business, which seems possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when we first started talking about Elon buying Twitter, and we had a discussion about would Twitter go away, and the discussion went towards it might be a completely different thing, or it's not going to be what it was, but it could be something different. I'm starting to think, well, maybe it could just be gone.
Well, I would imagine that if Twitter completely imploded from a business standpoint, that it would be sold for substantially less than what Elon paid for it. So in that particular regards, it would probably continue. But the thing is that we may have, I mean, because to me, Post is closest to Twitter of the existing platforms. It is not Twitter 2, but it is like, if you've got to compare it to anything, to me, it would be Twitter.
here's the problem that I'm seeing with where Post is in its development process today, comparing it to the Twitter thing. Post does not, and I have not found any social media platform yet that can match this feature on Twitter. When the bad stuff, the big stuff goes down, Twitter has been the best developed platform for disseminating that information super fast. So like natural disasters, hurricanes and earthquakes, man, you want the information fast. It's on Twitter because everyone's able to post and it's super easy to find. You have like political situations cropping up, the war in the Ukraine cropping up, stuff like that. Without Twitter, there's so much information that wouldn't be available immediately. And I don't see Post being able to replicate that. But
not
also,
today.
I have not
for
seen
sure
any
not
other
today.
Platform that can replicate that.
You need,
oh, yeah, sure, not today. Yeah.
You need millions and millions of people, if not tens of millions, if not more people, to replicate that particular effect. And Post is nowhere near that, nor could it be. I mean, they don't have the features yet to make that possible. But the thing is that I see a future where that could be possible.
Yeah, could be possible.
And I haven't seen that future anywhere else. That's the difference with Post to me.
Yeah, it's a future that could play out in several different social platforms. Post is just one of them. Yeah, actually my fear as we're talking through this is that none of these platforms are going to be able to replicate that and will lose it, and it will be a horrible loss for all of us.
You mean if Twitter went away too?
If Twitter goes away, or if Twitter changes in such a substantial way that super fast on location dissemination of information, just there's just nothing that can do
But Post could do that. How do you not see that Post could become that? It's not there now, but it could be there. It could reach that point.
It could. I am amazingly skeptical about any social media platform being able to give us that level of a feature or information. So, when it happens, I'll be excited. Until then, I am not going to hold my breath for it to happen.
Well, aren't you just negative Nelly?
Well,
I don't think, by the way.
Well, you know how I roll. I'm always negative about everything.
Yeah. Sure. Sure. I am definitely, my sort of self-effacing quip is that I'm willfully optimistic, right? The glass is, it's half full. I mean, it's probably going to spontaneously fill, in fact. So I can just plan on it being full. I mean, that's sort of my outlook. I don't think I'm doing that with Post. I don't think that I'm trying to engage in wish fulfillment with Post, because I felt this like when I dug back into Mastodon, when all this started going down with Twitter, mm-hmm. I had that willfully optimistic side. And then it's like, man, this is just such a mess. And I had a less positive, less, gleeful outlook on Post, simply because, burn me five times and, shame on someone. I was so delighted when I actually got there, even though it is in that early beta stage.
I can appreciate that. And there's a lot that needs to be done with Mastodon. It is not the best overall user experience. And that's even after you get past the sign up and, hey, now you have to pick a server. And Mastodon needs a lot of work. All of these new social media platforms need a lot of work.
Yeah, but Mastodon's problem is in its they're working on a design that will not work. It'll function, but it won't work. Maybe Mastodon doesn't even want to be a viable social media platform. Maybe they want to be like a vehicle for niche platforms. Maybe that actually is their plan. I don't even know. I've never done any research on what they say that they want.
You actually may be right on that. Of course, they would like to have a lot of users, but I think part of the foundation of Mastodon was being able to spin up a Mastodon instance that's for your niche. And so if
that's the case, insulting them and criticizing them, as I've been doing, for not being a potential social media alternative platform is not fair if they're not even trying to be that.
Yeah.
That just happens to be what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something that isn't this manipulative cesspool of negativity like Facebook. And
fair.
And, you know, has the sort of short form content that does work well with social media, like Twitter, that isn't, you know, descending into this alt-right.
A dysfunctional, racist dumpster fire?
Yes, that. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I'm looking for. That is maybe if you're listening to this, maybe that's not what you're looking for. And maybe that's not what a lot of people are looking for. And that just happens to be my current fixation. But I feel like Post can get there.
If it can, well, I've got my account, so I'm ready to roll with it. And if it doesn't, well, then it'll be just another one of the many, many, many social media account logins that collect digital dust in 1Password.
Can you make a Context Machine account?
On Post?
Yeah.
I'll figure out how to do that.
Sweet. Excellent. As long as I don't have to do it. That's all I care about.
Yeah, well, the karma part is I'll figure out how to set it up, and then it's all on you to interact with it.
No, that's actually fair, but you can do the setup, and that'll work for me. Thanks.
Sure thing.
All right. Let me do this thing here. And that is this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or maybe question, you can write to us at contextmachine.io. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us.
The bass is by Dr. Boom.
Sorry. All respects to Dr. Boom. And as we noted earlier, the sponsor this week was LinkedIn Jobs, because they can help you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Don't forget, post your job for free at linkedin.com/ACM. Once again, that's linkedin.com/ACM to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. What do you say about that, Jeff?
I think that's awesome.
Excellent. Excellent. That's a very good thought to have. So I guess I'll do that.
I'm so glad we hit the most important topic today, Willow.